So I'm here to introduce our speaker for today. Vicky Day is coming to talk about just when things are hard, and we're happy to have her. So give it up for Vicky.
Oh, thanks, guys. Okay. I'm Vicky Day, and I am so glad you guys are here. Turn me up. And today I'm going to share a story, and my daughter Courtney's story about when the hard happens to your child. But before I go there, I want to show you my family and just talk a little bit about who I am. So anyway, this was taken about a year ago at an event we went to. My handsome husband of 31 years, and he's a wonderful husband and dad. And then me, and then that's Courtney, and she's 25. Austin's in the middle. He's my oldest. He's 29. My daughter-in-law, Carter, and my son, Zach, 27. So they've been married for 2 years, and our family is growing. 2 weeks ago, Austin, the oldest, proposed to his girlfriend. So we'll add another one, Caitlin, in June. So we're real excited. So it's really weird. God's given me Courtney, and then Carter and Caitlin, and they're all, it sounds like they're my children. But anyway, we're excited. But here are pictures of me and Courtney, because it's about us and our story and some struggles that we've been through. So you can see what we look like a long time ago, and then this is more recent. I stole these off of her Insta story, obviously. She takes more pictures or can find more pictures than I can, so I kind of nab those. But what we're going to do today is just talk about my story. And again, my story and Courtney's story, we experienced the same thing, but it's almost two different stories as we have talked about it as she's an adult. The way God worked in her life is so different than the way he worked in my life. So it's an interesting thing. But the way I always like to know what's coming. So I'm going to tell you my story in two parts. Part one is just going to be kind of what happened and just the details. And then we're going to have some table time to talk a little bit. And then part two, we'll finish up. And then at the end, if we have time, Courtney and I will take questions. So anyway, let's just pray before we start. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for bringing these moms here out of the rain. It's not easy getting here in the morning, and especially when it's raining. So I just thank you that they're here. Lord, will you just open all of our hearts to hear what you have to say to us? And I ask that you just speak through me, Lord, not me, but your words to all of these women. And we love you, and we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so our story starts when I was pregnant. I had two boys, and God says we can ask him specifically for what we want. And so I specifically asked for a girl. And he gave me a girl, and I specifically asked for a sunshine girl, because I don't know why he gave me that, but I just knew that a daughter that could just bring joy and laughter and light, and he absolutely answered my prayers. So, and I also asked, as she was born, that he would give us an unusually good mother-daughter relationship, because I knew that was really important, and it was really important to me. Not that I don't have a great relationship with my sons, because I do, but there is something special about a mother and daughter. So anyway, my sunshine girl kept on growing, and life was really busy. Who has three kids in here? And a lot of you, I bet, will have them. Even one kid, I thought one kid was really hard. But every time I'm like, I wish I had realized that it wasn't that hard. So with three kids, I was really busy. And when Courtney was about 4 years old, I went to a parent-teacher conference at her preschool. And the preschool teacher said, do you realize that she can't straighten her hand or flatten her hand? They were doing those turkeys, you know what I'm talking about? And you trace their hand and then their feathers. And I think maybe subconsciously I knew that Courtney couldn't straighten her fingers, but I just consciously, I just didn't even see that. So anyway, that led to me taking Courtney to a hand specialist. And he said, well, yeah, I think you need to go to another specialist. So we started going to specialists. We ended up at a geneticist, and they said, you know, everything genetically was fine, but they wanted to take x-rays of all of her skeletal system. And I, again, remember, this is a four-year-old little girl who's scared. And so what they found through that is Courtney has a condition called skeletal dysplasia, which is a big word for there are just anomalies in her skeletal system. She has crooked fingers. So we just kind of dealt with that. Through the years, Courtney broke six bones, and not because of skeletal dysplasia. She actually, according to her orthopedic specialist, earned them. One time she tripped over a toy and broke her elbow at my brother's house. Another time she was riding horses and the horse bent over to eat. I mean, all of a sudden, and she went over the head and broke her wrists. And then another time she had a horrible bike accident. And so she earned her breaks. And so we were in and out of the doctor a lot. And through being in and out of the doctor's offices a lot, Courtney developed, we said, severe white coat syndrome. I mean, even if we went into, or anxiety, we went into her checkup, they would put a blood pressure cuff on her, and her blood pressure would skyrocket. I mean, skyrocket, where the nurse who's taking the blood pressure would go, oh, we need to do this, and she'd do it over and over and keep on saying, take deep breaths. And I'm like, that's just making her worse. And there came a point in time where the doctor said, stop it. I'll take it in the office. So anyway, that has continued through her whole life. Just scared to death of doctors and high anxiety over doctors. And so what that did is it made me, knowing that any time we'd go to a doctor, she would get worked up and not want to go, I would get so calm, I would almost go zen, like horribly calm. And again, years later, she'd said, that drove me insane. But I thought, if I'm already hyped up, how can I calm her down? So we just had a pattern of things that were happening. But anyway, her last break, I hope, was when she was sixth grade, so probably 12 years old. And it was around Christmas time. And we dropped by my brother's house. They had just gotten a new trampoline. And we had a trampoline. It was very safe. Our kids played on it all the time. But this one was new. You know, I made sure it had the net around it. But it was a different net than what my trampoline had. And so I'm inside with my sister-in-law, and all of a sudden I hear blood-curdling screams. And I'm thinking it's her kids because she has little kids and they would scream like that. Why would my kid, who's 12? But we both ran outside, and it was Courtney. And all she kept on doing is put it back. And what had happened was we are leaving to go to a basketball game with one of my sons. And she said, Daddy, one more time. And he was double bouncing her. Like he was on, he'd bounce, she'd go up. And when she went up, her toes got caught in the net, and her body came down, and it snapped her femur. So anyway, went to the hospital. Her worst fear has always been surgery. Nobody's ever said she had to have surgery. So she had surgery that day to put pins in, and she was in a wheelchair, a cast, for a long time at school that year. Finally, she really rehabilitated her leg because she wanted to try out for cheerleading that spring. And she did, and she made it. And so that was over with. Good news, she made cheerleading. It was the end of school, so she went to sleepaway camp, which she had done every year, and got back from that, and we started cheerleading. And that was just an all day, every day, and they do these cheerleading camps in town. And she came home one night, and she went, my ankle's swollen, Mom. What is this? And I was just kind of pushing on it. She goes, oh, yeah, at camp this happened, and they called the doctors. And I went, well, why didn't they call me? But it went away the next day, so she didn't really think about it. But it was doing the same thing. And so I said, well, it'll probably go away then tomorrow morning. And she woke up. Of course, it was a Saturday, and it had not gone away. And I guess she's a little bit of a hypochondriac, and maybe I feed that. But so I'm pushing on it, and we're trying to figure out what is this. It really wasn't hurting, but it was weird. And as I was pushing on it, it would press in and leave an indentation with my thumb. And I went, well, this is really weird. But I'm always trying not to make her upset. So I'm like, I think we need to go get this looked at. So we went, it was a Saturday, to the ER. And again, remember I said she's extremely anxious going to doctors. So we went by my brother's house to pick up my niece to be her entertainment in the hospital. But it worked. We did that a lot with friends. So we picked her up. We were at the ER at Scottish Rite, CHOA, and a young doctor walked in. And he's looking at her, and then he said, Mom, I need you to step out of the room with me. And she looked at him, and she said, you will tell my mom exactly what you're going to tell her in front of me. But somehow I calmed her down, and I stepped out in the hall with the doctor. And he said, I really think you need to see a geneticist. And I went, I literally said, been there, done that, everything's fine. And he said, okay, well, I mean, if you followed all that. And so we went back in the room, and he said, you have lymphedema. And I didn't know what lymphedema was. I said, what is that? And he said, it's just, you know, your lymphatics are swelling in your ankle. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And he didn't tell us anything else, and we left. And I kind of just went, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And because her issues have always been bone issues. So anyway, we went home. I called a friend who's a doctor, and he had seen her a lot. And he said, it has to be bone, Vicky. I'm going to bring a boot over, put her in it for 6 weeks, and it'll be fine. So she still did her cheerleading, not jumping and all that. And 6 weeks later, it was not fine. It was still swelling, probably a little bit more. And so I went to the real orthopedic specialist. He's just kind of a generalist doctor. And I said, she's been in a boot. And he said, it's not working. It's not helping. I don't think it's bone. And so he said, I think you need to go to a vascular surgeon. So we go through all of that, go through all these tests. I mean, and it was scary for Courtney. It was scary for me. And let's back up a little bit, because I forgot something that I really want to do. My Bible study right now is studying the book of Genesis, and it's a Jen Wilkins study called The God of Creation. Tell me what the consequence for Eve taking the bite of the apple was. Anybody? Pain and childbirth. She did it her own way, and God said, you're going to have pain and childbirth. Well, that pain and childbirth is not only there, but our hearts are so intertwined with our children that when they hurt, we hurt for the rest of their lives. I mean, it's true. It doesn't stop. I mean, we hurt when our kids hurt. So I want to go back there. So I'm watching all of this and going to all of these doctors, and nobody's giving me answers. And in the back of my head, I'm hearing that young doctor saying lymphedema. So at the same time, I'm Googling like crazy lymphedema or what's going on, you know, those symptom checkers. So after ultrasound and a CT scan, the vascular surgeon said, she has lymphedema. I went, okay, the guy was right. So anyway, I had been researching, and I said, well, how do we fix this? Because that's what we want. We want to fix it. We want an answer. And he said, really, there's all you do is you wear a compression stocking. Do y'all know what a compression stocking is? So you wear a compression stocking, and I'll see you in a year. That was it. And I went, I had Googled enough to know that there were things that could be done, and I asked him about an intensive lymphedema therapy that I had seen that Northside Hospital does. So he said, I'll give you a prescription. I know nothing about it. So that's what we did. So let me first tell you what lymphedema is, and then I'll tell you about the experience with the intensive. So lymphedema is literally your lymphatics just don't work. Now you could be born without a really good lymphatic system, without lymph nodes and all that, and it can show up early in life. Or you can have an accident, either an injury, or you see it most commonly, I think, in the news with breast cancer. Like when women have breast cancer and they remove a breast or they remove lymph nodes, anytime you remove a lymph node, you compromise your lymphatic system. So you'll see ladies who have lymphedema in their arms from that. So anyway, we don't know how Courtney got it, actually. I have a guess, but she's had a lot of injuries, but it wasn't to that leg. But anyway, so lymphedema, your lymphatic system helps clean out the bad stuff in your body, you know, the infections or whatever. So that's what it does. If you have lymphedema, what happens is you have swelling, and a lot of swelling that doesn't like to go down. So that's what Courtney has, and hers is in her left leg. And think about this. There's a girl who's a teenager at this point in a private school that wears short skirts. And what she has that's wrong is visible. So, I mean, she's dealing with a lot of, as a teenage girl, you're dealing with a lot of identity things anyway, but put this on top of it. And it was really tough. But we went to the intensive therapy. And we didn't know a lot about it. So you show up at the hospital for 6 weeks every day except for the weekend, and it's a 2-hour appointment. But this really does help. This is the best they have for lymphedema right now. Doctors really don't know a ton about it. And that's what we've found, is that most doctors that we have gone to, we have to educate on what is going on. Because in medical school, doctors, at least 10 years ago, only got between 20 and 30 minutes on lymphatics in their whole medical school. So it's not a lot. So it's kind of fighting an uphill battle. It's getting better. There are doctors out there that do know what's going on, but it's few and far between. And there are research studies and clinical trials that are going on. It's just, there's nothing out there yet that I would recommend Courtney do at this point. I don't think it's proven well enough. But she's an adult and she decides on her body. But anyway, so we went to the intensive therapy, and the lady gets in, and you measure your leg, because you measure your good leg versus your lymphedema leg to get a baseline. And then what they do is they do a manual lymph drainage, which is a kind of massage, but it's not a feel-good massage. I mean, it's like almost just moving the top layer of your skin. But that really does move your lymphatics. But the bad part is, and then the third piece is, you're wrapped in bandages, like the Michelin Man, on wherever you have lymphedema, probably 10 layers of bandages. Well, you can pass this book around. Courtney wrote this book when she was 14 with her lymphedema therapist that we found that came to our house. But it's got pictures. Here you go. Sorry. It has pictures, so you can kind of see what she did. But anyway, the first day, you know, we did all that, and we went every day for 6 weeks. And you sleep, you know, you don't take it off until you get back to the hospital, and they had a shower, so she'd have to shower there. But that first day, this lady showed Courtney a book. She thought she was being helpful, but she picked up a book and she was like opening it up and trying to educate us. And she went to the very worst case scenario and showed my daughter. Can I say what it was? It was elephantitis. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of elephantitis, and it's horrible. And yes, if you did not deal with something for years on end, it could get there. But that's never going to be her, because she's been dealing with it. So there's not a cure yet. I think there will be one day. But what she does is she manages it. And the best we have right now for lymphedema is that intensive therapy. So she did that when she was 14. But I want to read to you her words of what she said when she got home that day. what was happening to me and why was this happening to me? Why would I have to go through this thing? And then they told me that it's never going to go away. Why would it never go away? You're telling me that this is something that I may have to deal with every single day for the rest of my life? Why? What did I do to deserve this? What did I do wrong? Those were her questions. She asked me, she asked her dad, she asked God. But and then I want to read you one more section to go to the mother-daughter. And you've heard how I would run to doctors, which is not bad in itself, because I was trying to help my daughter. I needed to do that, but it was stressful for her, and it was hard for her, and then to always get bad news was really hard. So she, in the book, writes about our relationship and how she dealt with it. When it comes to my mom, I go back and forth between climbing in her lap and crying to her and then yelling at her, because she is the only one that I can really vent to. I know that it hurts her when I yell at her and put my sadness on her, but I also know that she knows just how hard this all is, and she doesn't hold it against me when I act that way. I could never yell at my friends the way I do my mom, because it would cause a huge fight. I get so upset, though, and so angry, and she is the only one who really understands all of it. My mom sees it all. Now, my husband and her brother saw it all, but I was the one who was researching. I was the one that was making the appointments, and I was the one that was taking her, and I was the girl. Like, I understood the female feeling she was feeling about her body. So she just goes on. So I was, and I always say to friends that are going through this, I was, will you pass that too? I was the safe person. And as a mom, you're going to be the safe person for your child because you love them unconditionally. So when she was going through the crying and the questioning and all of that, it was so hard for her and for me. So right now, what I want you to do is just spend some time around the tables and talk about who or what are you running to find answers. Like, I was running to doctors. Some people run to food. Some people run. I mean, so who or what are you running to when you've got something that's going on to find the answers? Take about 10 minutes and just talk about it. Okay, so Courtney struggled out loud with the Lord. I mean, she really struggled out loud in our times where she would cry and just ask the hard questions. Why? Why, God? I mean, seriously, why would you do this to me? And in those moments of holding her and trying to comfort her, it scared me internally to death because I didn't want her to turn away from the Lord. Because he's central. I mean, and he's everything to me. He's everything to her. He was central in our family. And yet she was asking the hard questions, and I would give her the answers, but that's not really what she needed at that point. I just wanted to fix, no, but God says, but that's not what she needed at that point. But it was out of my fear, and I didn't know what to do. I just didn't want her to turn away from the Lord. So during the day, I just did the mom thing. You know, we did whatever we had to with Courtney and lymphedema, but we still had life and three kids, and everything kept on moving on. And I really don't think I dealt well internally with what was going on. And so what happened in God's providence and his sweetness, I had never had a problem sleeping. And I would just fall into bed at night because I was tired taking care of three kids. But every night for weeks, I would wake up at 2 a.m. And I would try to fall back to sleep. And my mind was just whirling, and I could not stop it. So every night, I'd try not to wake my husband up, and I'd go go downstairs and sit in my chair, and it is my chair where I meet with the Lord, and I have done it for years every morning. And I'd crawl into that chair, and years ago I went to a conference, and somebody was talking about how, you know, God is Father. It's like you can crawl into his lap, and he can quiet your soul. So I started thinking like that, like, God, I just need to crawl in your lap right now, because during the day I am holding it together, and at night I am losing it. But, I mean, I could cry at night. I could do whatever, and I could... Courtney wrestled during the day. I wrestled with the Lord at night. I knew his truth in my head. I mean, I knew it and I believed it. But there was something about those dark hours and those quiet hours where nothing else was going on, that I would crawl up into that chair, into my Father's lap, and I would open his word, and his truth would just, he would just speak to me as I was reading. And it really didn't matter where. And I would ask the questions as, and God, do you really love me? Like, this is happening and I can't fix it. And my daughter's hurting. Do you really love me? And he would say in his word, through his spirit, I love you so much. And I love her so much more than you love her. And I have good plans for her. And, you know, why, God? Why, if you are God of the universe and you're the creator of everything and you're sovereign and you're in control, why will you not heal her? I mean, I wrestled with him because I knew he could, but he didn't. And then are you good? Because this doesn't seem really good to me right now. But over weeks of waking up in the middle of the night, and I think he did it in order to deal with me, and in order for me to wrestle over the really hard questions with him, he calmed my soul. Like a mom calms a baby, the verse in Zephaniah, the Lord our God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He quiets you with his love. That's exactly what he was quieting me, like you quiet your babies. He rejoices over you with singing. That's what he was doing. Through his word, I mean, his word, the Bible is true. And he just spoke to me through his word and brought scripture to me. And he just ministered to my soul, and he took what I knew and he just pressed it into me. And it was just me preaching what I knew back to myself. It was taking God's word and just preaching it back to myself over and over. And there was a point in there where, I mean, God had just really been ministering to me and showing me how much he loved me and showing me how much he loved Courtney. And it was, do I trust you? Do I trust you, Lord? And I mean, yes, I did. But it took me a while to work into, okay, I'm holding things like this and I want it fixed and I want it my way. And he finally got me to the point where I could open my hands and say, Lord, your way is best, whatever that way is. Whatever. Because I was looking for the answer, and you know what I found? He's the only answer. In everything that we go through in life, he is the only answer. He is the only steady that will ever not change. Like, I used to want God to change because I wanted him to change and do things I wanted him to do in my way. But what he taught me was his promises are true and he does not change. He never changes. He is a firm foundation that we can base our life on. And so when I said, God, I can trust you because I know that you have a plan and your plan is good. And if that is for Courtney to have lymphedema for the rest of her life, then that's a good plan because you have a purpose in that plan. And I didn't know what that purpose is. And I still don't know what that purpose is. But I finally felt like I could lay it at his feet and trust him with whatever his story was. Because my story and Courtney's story and your stories are his story. It's really not about us. It's about the Lord and His glory. So that's what I learned. But the scripture that spoke to me in a huge way, and I didn't realize until recently it really spoke to my husband in a huge way, and that he would read this over Courtney. It's in John 9, 2 through 4, and it's when Jesus is walking along with his disciples. It says, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. That's the purpose. It's really not us getting our answers, but it's for the work of God being displayed in our life, for His glory. So there's been a lot of things that have gone on. Courtney did that intensive therapy when she was 14. And I'll be honest, I was ready for Courtney to make her own medical decisions. So when she was an adult age, it was hers, and it was her timing, and she had to decide on her own if she would actually take care of herself, and she did. She called me fairly recently. I'm involved with an organization called the Lighthouse Lymphedema Network, and we educate doctors, and we educate parents, and we do conferences and a lot of different things. But anyway, I've met a lot of people in the lymphedema world, and Courtney came to me and she said, and she's become one of her best friends and one of our best family friends. My husband found a woman that could actually come to our house after Courtney had intensive therapy, because she was a kid and we wanted her life to stay as normal as possible. So we had someone coming to our home when she was younger. But Courtney called and said, you know what, through college and all that, I've done the minimum and I'm ready to take care of myself, so where do I go? And she just finished, and remember I said that intensive therapy, it's really emotional, y'all, to do that every day. And now she just finished that, and she did it, but she had to go to work, like, wrapped and all that, and that's not fun. But she just finished going through it, and I love it that she has ownership of herself now, and she makes decisions, and I don't have to. But I want you to listen to a song, and I'm sure you've probably all heard it, by Laura Story, called Blessings. But when all of this was going on and I was having kind of my wrestling time with the Lord, this song came out. And it was kind of as I had been dealing with it. I was driving by myself in my car, and this song came on. And y'all, it put words to what was going on, and the pain and the suffering and the hard. So I want you to listen to this, and then after, I've got another question that we'll just work about 5 minutes on, and then Courtney and I will do questions and answers if you want to ask questions. Okay, what I want to do is end on a video, and then after that, I want to kind of give you an update of where Courtney is, and if you have any questions for either of us, she's willing to answer questions. You can ask them. So let's do this video, because I think it's another wrap-up that's really good. Who's heard of Corrie Ten Boom? So this is Corrie Ten Boom in a poem that she wrote, and I'm going to do the video part of it. But if you don't know, she was a Christian in the Netherlands or Holland during World War II, and she hid Jews, and then she was caught, and she was put into concentration camp with her sister, and her sister died in the camp. But anyway, she's not living anymore, but she's had a huge ministry. But this is her. So I also put scripture pages on your tables. Oh, it's still going. Whoa. Hold on. Thank you. Okay, so it's the tapestry or the weaving. But these scripture pages, these are just some of the things that God gave me during that time and other times. And what I've done, I mean, I've memorized it just because God's word in my heart is good. But this has been something that I wake up and do every morning. I just think a lot of people do the Lord's Prayer. This is just kind of how I start my morning. So take it if you want it. If not, no big deal. But where is Courtney? Will you grab that? Come up here. So anyway, do you want me to tell where you are now, or do you want to? You tell.
You can tell.
No, you tell.
Okay. So I guess I'll start from like a year ago, or 2 years ago now. So 2 years ago, I was still in college. I went to Auburn, War Eagle, if anybody. But yeah, I went to Auburn, and then my last semester of my senior year, I had to have a hip replacement. You didn't mention that.
I forgot about that.
which was a really big surgery and honestly terrifying. It was on the side of my lymphedema, and with lymphedema, it's high risk of infection. So that was a huge season of wrestling and just questioning God once again of, what are you doing in my life? Are you really good? Kind of the same questions that I had wrestled with back in middle school. Anyways, I ended up getting the surgery. It went well. I'm able to actually walk again. I was in a wheelchair for some of college also, which...
Yeah, I didn't go there.
But yeah, I studied abroad and was in a wheelchair the whole time over in Italy. So really hard, but I ended up graduating a little bit late. So I graduated in December of the next year. And being an education major, I was supposed to be going to teach, but since it was December, it was a weird time, and I was like, I don't really know what I want to do with my life. I don't even know if I want to teach. And my dad said, Courtney, what brings you to life? And I said, I don't really know. I mean, I did Young Life in college and led younger girls, and I was like, I think that that really brings me to life. Like, I think that talking about Jesus and talking about my story, like, that just really gives me joy, and I feel like I've learned a lot through suffering. And he said, well, would you ever consider full-time ministry? And I was, yeah, never considered full-time ministry before. So anyways, in this season, I was kind of deciding, what do I want to do, and praying about it a lot. And honestly, God just, like, totally showed up. I ended up going to a restaurant. Have y'all been to Upbeat before? Downtown? Okay, y'all need to go. It's really good. But I was at Upbeat and ended up running into like one girl who went to Wesleyan, which is where I went to high school. And we just got to talking, and her mom's actually good friends with my mom. And she said, Courtney, is there any way that you could mentor me? Like, would you consider doing that? And I said, I mean, I don't really have it all together, but sure. So through that, started a Bible study, and they all ended up being girls that went to Georgia Tech. And I don't know, I think like Sunday nights, which is when they would come over, it just brought me to life, kind of what my dad was talking about. And I think that through all of my suffering and trials and things, I think God just started turning my heart towards more of an eternal perspective. I think when you deal with suffering and it's lifelong, you get really excited about heaven one day. You get excited about being healed and restored. And so I think that my perspective on life changed and really just started gravitating towards the real mission of God, which was, in my case, doing full-time ministry. So ended up randomly getting connected to Campus Outreach, met with Meredith Chin. She was the first person, one of the first people that I met on staff with Campus Outreach, and honestly, a huge reason why I decided to go on staff. She also has had some bone things and medical stuff, and I've never met someone who just gets it. And so she and her husband really impacted me in my first semester on staff with Campus Outreach. But yeah, so now this is my second year on staff. I work at Georgia Tech, and I'm leading a discipleship group with four girls, and then I'm doing, like evangelistic Bible studies and different things like that. But that's where I am.
So do y'all have any questions? Well, let me ask you real quick, Courtney. You just wrote about how good and hard can coexist. Can you tell them just a little bit about that? Like when you realized that good and hard, like good life and hard life can coexist.
Yeah. I think that that is something that I've been learning a lot. And I think that the best representation of that is on the cross. Like if you look at the cross, it's bloody and gruesome and terrible. Like on that Friday, it wasn't good. And then 3 days later, Jesus ended up resurrecting and is now, you know, our lives are changed because of that day. So I think that you can look at life like, man, this is really hard, but God knows what he's doing, kind of like the tapestry. But yeah, good and hard can coexist, and God doesn't promise us easy lives. But he promises us that he'll be with us. And I think that, honestly, learning more about the cross and what that means with Meredith and Daniel, I think, yeah, just learning that, like, even Jesus suffered, but he suffered on the cross without God's presence. And because he did that, that means that I get to suffer, but I get to suffer with God and not without his presence like Jesus did on the cross. So does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, I'm going to put you on mic just so you can.
So when you talked about, I think you were quoting her when mm-hmm. you said that you knew that your mom was a safe person that you could kind of vent to. Mm-hmm. When you were venting, was it something that you realized later, like, okay, I'm doing this to my mom because subconsciously I feel safe? Or did you know, like, okay, I need to vent. I'm going to go to my mom and vent. Was mm-hmm. it like a subconscious thing, or was it something you realized, like something you realized later or something you were conscious of?
I don't know. I think that in the moment, things just were really hard. I think going to school, so she didn't mention this either, but I ended up finding a binder. So my mom keeps all these records of medical stuff and is very organized. But she kept this binder, and I found it. And it said it had every body part of mine listed, and then by every body part it said...
I didn't list the body parts. It was a
report. No. It was a report from the genetic testing. And on next to every body part, it said abnormal. And so I think that's the way that my life felt. Like, it just felt like it was different than everybody else's. So I think at school, and like she was saying, during the day, I pretended like everything was fine. So I think, I don't know, I think maybe subconsciously, but I just knew, like, my mom, I think what's cool about my parents is they didn't just tell me they loved Jesus. I actually saw them, like, her up and reading the Bible and her up doing things. And I just knew that my mom had something different, and that she knew Jesus, and that she was fighting for me. Like, I don't know. That doesn't really answer your question, but maybe I think after reflection, like becoming older and going through therapy is great. Y'all should all go. But learning through and wrestling with things. I think I really figured out all of that stuff later in life. But
in the moment, I don't think you knew. She just went crazy. Yeah, she needed to scream, yell, rant, and rave. And
there was a lot.
I'm on.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry. I wasn't on very well. It was really hard and it was scary. And I didn't do it very well all the time. I mean, she would scream.
We got in a physical, like.
That was recently.
That was like 3 years ago.
But anyway. It was hard. I mean, it was hard to be the brunt of a lot of venom. And it was venom that came out. But like she said, she held it together in front of everyone else. But there has to be a place where you can just explode. And that's what it was.
I was just wondering, in your discussions with people that aren't Christians or believers, mm-hmm. How does that go when you're talking about your story?
You may talk on this thing.
Yeah.
I do this a lot. This is kind of my job. But I think that everybody is looking for something to satisfy their hearts and their souls, and people's stories might look totally different than mine. I think that I try to find something that maybe they feel like there's a gap in their life, and like, and just where God can kind of fill that in. Like, I'm discipling a girl now who doesn't have a relationship with her dad. So talking about how, like, God is the father, and he's so much better than an earthly father. But I think telling my story, I change it a lot based on who I'm talking to. But in regards to suffering and, like, what I talk about, I think I mainly just say I don't have it all figured out. And I'm not – sometimes I still wrestle and struggle with God. And that's a very normal thing. And that I'm still learning. But I think a huge part of what's changed my heart is reading the Bible and really knowing who God is. But, yeah, I think – does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'll piggyback on that, because when you said reading the Bible, and it's my soapbox, and some of the ladies from my Bible study are here, and if you're not in God's Word constantly, you're not going to know the truth, and you're not going to recognize lies of the evil one. You've got to, I mean, that's how he speaks to us, y'all. I mean, it's through his Word, and it's just precious. Any other questions? Oh, back. Thanks, Emily.
I have a 4-year-old with a chronic illness, and I'm consumed by it. My husband has other things he has to take care of the family. Can you talk some about, you know, how you can lean on him without leaning on him, maybe, you know, with the balance?
It's really interesting, and Heidi just walked up to me a minute ago. We are, as women and as moms, I think we are wired so differently, in my opinion, than our husbands. Like, my husband was there constantly, and he was a huge support, and actually, like, I was the safe person for Courtney, but he was the calming influence, correct?
She was like the warrior. I mean, I think just from a daughter's perspective, yeah. My mom was like the warrior fighting. She was, yeah, which was, I think in the time was hard. I didn't really see her cry a lot. I didn't see the way that she was up at night wrestling with God. I think my dad is just was like, what did you say? Comforter? Yeah. Like, he was.
What did he tell you every day?
I don't know.
You always say he has never gone a day without telling her that she's beautiful. Like, never. So he is the rock, and he was her peace. Like, her, we could say the same thing to her.
I would listen to my dad.
I'm sure y'all are experiencing that, but she would take what he said so much more comforting. He was just, you know, a daddy that she could just crawl up into his lap and cry. So
how did
we deal with that? I think he realized that it was a really big struggle for me. But, you know, that was when we were younger, and that was in the beginning of his career. And, I mean, he had to put food on the table. So what happened, though, recently, which was really, really sweet, and I still keep on looking at Courtney and saying, was it because of Courtney or Peyton, but when she decided to go back into intensive therapy for her leg, he said, I will handle this. And for him to say at that point, I will handle this, I think he knew how raw, I mean, we were fine, but then you go right back into the real raw part. He just said, this time let me do that. Let me carry that. So he
made all of the appointments. He arranged for therapists to come to her house now. So it was kind of a give and take. I mean, he was always there for me to cry to and vent to, think things through and work things out. But as far as the logistics, I was handling most of it. And like Courtney said, I was the warrior. Like, I was going into battle. But that's not my personality at all. Is it?
No. Yes, it is. Your personality? Yes. Yeah, I would say my dad handling it this time, like, I just went through this a month ago. And my dad took control, but it was so healthy for my mom and I. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually could cry with my mom, and I actually could be really upset with my mom.
And I actually could cry with you.
Yeah, we cried together. You've never seen that. Yeah. I've never seen her cry until this year. So, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, there's one. Oh, two. Tara and then Emily.
So it seems like you really had, even at a young age, such a healthy outlook on everything. And, you know, I have a daughter who has something that is going to be physically noticeable throughout her life, always. And I'm just worried, how do I give her that healthy outlook? Or was that something you just decided from your faith? Was that something you did? Did your mom help you with that? Or how did that, like, come about?
Yeah. That's a great question. I would say that I had a really good foundation. I went to Perimeter growing up. And I think, but even more so than just knowing all the things, knowing Bible verses, whatever it might be, I think, like I said earlier, just I would walk downstairs every morning at 6 a.m. and my mom would be in her chair reading her Bible. And I think that's honestly probably what just seeing it in action and seeing her have awesome friends and leading Bible studies. And I think I just desired that and wondered what was different about her. But that doesn't mean that it came immediately. There was definitely moments, she didn't talk too much about this either, but where I would yell at God out loud and be really mad. I think I was pretty angry for a long time, out loud, screaming, yelling, questioning, is God good? He created me, so why would my body be like this? And I think it scared my mom a lot. But ultimately, I think there's a song that I love. It's called Put Your Lies to Sleep. But it talks about building a shelter in your stronger days. And I feel like that's kind of what I had, was like a shelter that was just surrounding me, that when the storm came, all of a sudden, like, Bible verses and things that I had learned when I was little just, like, came out of me. I don't know. It was crazy. But it's been a long process, and I still wrestle. We're doing the journey curriculum for my discipleship group right now and talking about suffering. So it brings up a lot of things. So I still wrestle with it. And I think that until I get to heaven, I'm not going to fully understand. But like I said, knowing that there is the presence of God with me.
Mm-hmm. Emily. Oh, would you?
I did. Okay.
Any more? I'm really proud of her. God has done a huge work in Courtney's life, and it's sweet. Thanks, y'all.